I'm so excited for next Sunday. I'm excited for every Sunday because it's a day of worship. I'm particularly excited about next Sunday's day of worship because it will follow Saturday. What I've come to know is this church's expression of outreach. It's our day of outreach next Saturday. And I was so excited to hear that you guys do this, that you guys have a corporate call to dedicate a day as you go in the course of your life on Saturday. Some of you I know as life groups and as families do special events serving Amarillo in the name of Jesus Christ. I was so excited to hear that this church does that, that there's a church that does that in such an intentional way. But I know many of you will have lots to do on Saturday, and so for you, you will go on doing your ball games with your kids, or some of you might have to work Saturday, but you will have a special attention and heart for what God's doing around you, wanting to serve and speak and work and play in the name of Christ. I'm so excited to see what God does on that day in your life, as we corporately call everyone in this body to focus on Christ specifically by loving our neighbors, particularly those who don't know Him. So I'm real excited about that, and I'm excited about Sunday. And I'm praying that maybe someone out there who's needing the love that you guys have, that I'm getting to experience, gets to feel it Saturday and wants more and come Sunday. I'm real excited about that. I want you to be real open to the opportunity God may put before you to just say, hey, you want to come? As you on Saturday, as you go. And I love that we're doing that, that we're obeying that part of the Great Commission, the go part, to go out of here and into that world with Christ so that we can bring people into here also to be with Christ. I'm very excited about that. Excited about today, too. What we're doing today in First Fruits Offering is what it's been called in our capital campaign, our Building a Living Legacy. Just a day where we kind of get to make our first public offering towards the commitment that many of you guys made last week. I didn't. I have mine today. Carrie and I sat down this week, and whew, I almost didn't come today, you know. But I'm so excited about the faith it's requiring of me joining you here in this financial way. Last Thursday, I took my oldest boy over to the town club, and we caught the last 10 minutes of the swimming pool being open before it closed down, the outdoor swimming pool. And I'm so proud of my boy. He'll get up on that diving board, and it's pretty high. It's higher than anything he's jumped off into a pool. And he just had no problem. He ran right up there, went to the end, and he'll jump in, and he'll swim all the way to the side and do it again. He's 4. I'm real proud of him. Now, he doesn't have the slide down, okay? They have these 2 tube slides, a blue one that goes straight and a red one that goes to the side or the other way around. I don't know. And I go, well, you want to go down the slide? And so he said, sure, I want you to come with me. And so I go up there, and I sit down kind of with him, you know, and on the slide, and I put it in my lap, and we go falling down. And I said, wasn't that funny? He goes, yeah. I go, you do it yourself. And he said, no, he wasn't ready to do that. And that was a week ago, but this last Thursday, I learned that it's really against the rules for 2 people to go down the slide together. So I said, Shade, to go down the slide, you're going to need to do this yourself. And so I invited him to take a specific action, to go up that step, those steps, and get at the top of that slide and go down himself. I invited him to take that action. It was also, for him, kind of a demand. I was kind of demanding some faith, because he'd look at that big old shoe and he's like, once I let go, that's it. I'm out of control. You know, it's up to whatever happens, happens. Once I take that action, boom, I'm going down the slide. But so even though I called him to action, I invited him to action and it demanded faith, I also gave him this promise. I'll be at the bottom, and I promise if you go, you'll be safe and you will have a blast. So he did it. He did it. He went. He took the action. He took the invitation and he did his part. He had faith and he just put himself at the mercy of the slide. And he came out the other side and I was there. And he was safe. And he had fun. Every call of God in the Word of God, I noticed those same elements present. Every invitation from God to join Him at work involves those 3 things. You can say it lots of different ways, but today we're going to say it this way. He invites His person or His people to action. He demands faith in Him. And He gives a promise. And it's just like that in Joshua chapter 1, where we'll be this morning. where we started last week, and we saw the call of the day on God's people. And today I just want to focus on one verse where Joshua took the call that God gave to him, and he took it to the people. And you're going to see it in verse 11. You're going to see God's invitation to the people to take action. That's their part. You're going to see there's going to be a demand for faith where they've got to just be at the mercy of God for it to happen. That's God's part. And then He gives them a promise. Let's pray for a moment before we dive into that verse and this story again and into our own story. Let's bow. God, we just continue our worship as we go to Your Word and this story that You have saved for us. And I know You've saved this story for us for all of eternity. Heaven and earth can pass away, but these words won't. But God, I know for now you want to give it to us today. For the Southwest Church. For us to have faith in Your call on us. God, I pray that we see very clearly in this one verse Your invitation to God's people to act. Your demand for faith. And Your promise. But God, maybe even more importantly today, I just want to pray over us, this church, Your church at Southwest, God's people here, that we see Your invitation to act. That we see Your demand for faith. That we see Your life-giving promise for us today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Joshua 1:11. Joshua ordered the officers of the people to go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here and go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. You see it? It starts with God's invitation for the people of God to take action. He says, go through the camp, tell the people, get the supplies ready. Get the supplies ready, he says to the people. They know what they got to go through. They know what they're doing it for. But right now, they're saying what you're to do, your call to action, your part in this deal, people of God, is get the supplies ready. That's your part. A lot of times, we around the office will say that that's the possible part. We're hoping for the impossible to be the result. But there's a possible part that we're to do. We do the possible and depend on God to do the impossible. And for these guys right here, God's addressing the real practical part of humans. Then and now for us. What do I get to do? What's my part? What do I do? What do I need to do? God says, get the supplies ready. That was their job. For Israel, that was the focus. They need to get the supplies ready. You know what it is for us today in building this building? It's get the supplies ready. That's what we're doing today. We're giving this money to get the supplies ready. You know, we all know, and I know the leaders of this campaign have made it just very clear to you that it is not about the building. Okay, it's not. And there's universal acceptance, I hope, in this body at this point, that we've come to complete unity on that. That there's no more arguing about that. This is about the work of God. So it's not about the building. Now that we've got that down, can we say that partially it is about the building? That's our part. We're to get the supplies ready. It's not about the building. It's about making disciples in Amarillo. And a step towards that, what God is calling us to do, is to get the tool to do it. If you had a big, fat tree in your yard you need to chop down, and you go to the woodshed to get a tool to do that job, and all you got in there to cut down any wood is a hatchet, a little hand hatchet, right? And you go out to this big old fat tree that you need to cut down, what are you going to do? You're going to the store. You're getting a better tool. Because this isn't going to do the job. This isn't going to get that job done. So you're going to go get an axe. Or you're going to go invest in a chainsaw. Because the job is too big for the tool that you have in your hand. That's where we are as a church. The job that God is clearly telling us we're to do. This building is not a big enough tool. So it's not about the building, but partially, let's remember, our part is to get the tool ready. We're depending on God to make disciples in the building. That's His part. We'll have faith that that happens. Our part? Build the building for Him to make disciples in. And so that is our invitation to act. It's not all about the building, but let's remember it partially is. It partially is. So that wasn't all, you know. These guys are getting their supplies ready, the Israelites, and they're probably over their shoulder looking at that Jordan. Going, it seems kind of silly to get the supplies ready when there's that Jordan. You know, I mean, I'm going to get suited up and armed up and get the supplies ready and pack my food and go as if to war into a river. This obstacle. See, there was a demand on the people of God to have faith that God will show up and take care of the obstacles. And we have one on us. We're to go forward to build this building with financial faith. I don't have enough to build this building. I don't have enough. I wish I did. Now, I feel like I'm building this building because of the sacrifice I'm making, because of the giving I'm going to be able to get to give, be a part of, because of the financial faith my wife and I sat down and prayed about and asked for and committed to and signed on the dotted line. I feel like I get to feel like I'm being a part of this thing, that I get to build this building. But I can't. So I wonder, maybe there's a demand on me to have faith that God will get past the obstacles towards building this building. That God will do that. That if we are just faithful, He will be fruitful. You know, when Joshua made this call on the people, it was the seventh day of the first month of their calendar year. What that means is, because remember he said, 3 days we're going to cross this Jordan. What that means is it'd be the tenth day of the first month. Meaning, and this wouldn't be lost on those guys, it is on us, but it's not lost on them, that it's 40 years to the day that their forefathers crossed the Red Sea. It's lost on us the power and the magnitude and the weight of confidence that would lay down upon the Israelites as they thought of that and remembered what their forefathers did. That was a sea. This is a puny little river. God can do it. And so we don't see them questioning at all in Joshua. One of the few times we see the people of God not complaining, only obeying, only unifying, and 100% signing on and doing it. It's one of the few times we see that. I'd love for God to see that happen again here today, where we remember what God has done. And that motivates to do what we haven't seen Him do yet. I was walking around this building a week and a half ago praying about this whole campaign. And as I did this prayer walk, I started looking at this pile of rocks that we've already built here. You know, in Joshua chapter 4, after they go across the Jordan, they build a building. They take 12 rocks representing the 12 tribes of Israel and build a little monument. It wasn't about the building then either. It was about what it represented. And I was walking around this pile of rocks, which, you know, we're building, and I was praying about the one we're about to build. But then I went back and I thought about the one that has been built, and I started remembering. Started thinking about, what about the people who were here the first time around? I know some of you were. I mentioned you last week. I thought about you some more this week. And I wanted to know, you know, what's it like? And so at my request, I was looking for the names of you who were here about 30 years ago. About 30 years ago this day, you were sitting around in meetings like this saying, we need a building, we need a tool. And so, some of the ladies pulled out this Amarillo Globe News for me as I was kind of thinking about this. And it's dated January 30th, 1976. It's 8 pages on this church. I started reading this. And I recognized one of the names in here. So I called Bill McMorris and I asked him, what was the spirit surrounding the church at that time? What was going on then? What were the circumstances around which y'all built this pile of rocks that we now use as a memorial to Christ's work actively, telling our children about what God has done? He said, well, two churches were merging. Most of you know this history. I'm just learning it. South Lawn and Southside. And the building that we were meeting in, Bill said, over at 44th and Crockett, was no longer adequate. I went, that sounds like today. He then said, they met in Amarillo High School while the building was being built. And I thought, that had to be inconvenient. inconvenienced by the building of a building. Sounds like today. And I was so encouraged that they had the fortitude to do that. That we sit in these cushioned chairs. I preach from this pulpit. We baptized Joshua in that baptistry because they did that. I'm so grateful. I am so grateful. And here we stand again. I kept reading this and I saw this one awesome article that I was real interested in. It says, Southwest, the people. What is the Southwest Church of Christ? This was written when I was 7. But I want to challenge you that if you didn't know when this was written, if you wouldn't think this was written yesterday. Listen to who the people at the Southwest Church were 30 years ago. Southwest is people in action for Jesus. Southwest is a church on the move, growing, building, expanding. Southwest is a people reaching around the world with the message of Jesus Christ. Southwest Church is a people who love and care for homeless and neglected children. High Plains Children's Home being referenced there. Southwest is a church where every individual is important. Southwest is a church reaching out to Amarillo. Southwest is youth in action. Southwest is a people on the go. A positive spirit is evidenced in every service. Southwest is a church led by men who put the Lord first. Southwest is a church seeking to be of the New Testament. You know what I realized when I read this? I got chills. I'm getting them again. That this building project we're doing here, it's not some great new idea that this generation has come up with. You know what this building project is? We're in right now is? It is a consistent expression of who this church has always been. It's just another one. Bill wasn't done. He told me something else that really gripped me. He said, you know, we bought at that time, I remember, we bought the extra land, the full city block. We bought that extra acreage knowing we would have, in faith, future expansion. I said, are you serious? He said, yeah. You know what those people, our forefathers, were thinking about? Today! They were thinking about today! Today's the day they planned for! Today's the day they invested extra money for! Today their children, their descendants, remember what they did and find the commitment and fortitude to do what we need to do. A consistent expression of who we have always been. A consistent expression of who we are to always be. And when we need more room, we'll build again! And it's not about the building. But it is partially about the building. And we don't need to apologize about that. So, there was a demand for faith. And the demand is on you today. But the best part is, there's also a promise to the people. He said, take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Oh yeah. Get the stuff ready. And have faith to go across the Jordan, ultimately, so that you can have the land that God's going to give to you to possess. You remember the land we have, right? The land God's promised this church, today, in this generation. You remember, right? It's each other. It's the harvest in Amarillo. It's those who aren't here yet. It's the nations. This church is called and promised. If we will be faithful, God will be fruitful. He will see His great commission come to life through us if we have the faith. He wants to give us this land. It addresses the question here. When the promise of God always addresses the question, what does God want to give me? And you remember what the land is. As I was walking this building, I was also thinking about, as I've been listening to you talk about it and listening to different opinions and thoughts, which are all great and fine and in different levels of skepticism versus optimism. And I went around, I wondered if back then, if there was any sense of it was about the building. I wonder if there was any talk of I don't know if we should be doing this, or I don't like the way they're doing the whole financial thing. You know, I don't like the way that they're just, you know, because what they did then is they just took out a note and paid it off. And I wonder if anybody back then said, I don't like the way they're doing it at that time. And there's all this stuff going on. Maybe. But I just sat there wondering, you know, how did God get them through it? Was it about the building then? About that point, I think God wanted to give me the answer, because I just switched gears and looked across the street. I think it's Yale Street right over here. There's houses right there, duplexes. I went over to one of those houses and knocked on the door. This man comes out, and I said, hi, my name's Brian Masper. I'm a new preacher right across the street. I was wondering, are we good neighbors? Because see, we believe it's a salvational issue. It's the most important command. I didn't tell him this, but we're to love our neighbors. And so I just want to know how we're doing. I said, have we loved you? You know what he said, church? He said, yes. And then he said, and I kid you not, he said, I remember back when they were building that building right there. He said there was construction dirt all piled up, of course, and dirt and just, you know, because I don't know if you've noticed, you're new here, right? It's windy. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I've noticed that. And he said, and one big windstorm came in and picked up a bunch of that concrete and dirt and construction trash and plastered all these duplexes on the street. Just plastered them with dirt. Said, and he didn't say that they were complaining. He didn't act like that irritated anybody on the block. I mean, just, you know, they've lived in Amarillo a long time. They know this is going to happen, you know. And he said, but you know what that church did? Doggone it, if they didn't pay somebody to come over here and wash off all our houses. I said, that is great. It wasn't about the building then, church, and it's not about the building now. It's about loving our neighbors. And you know what? Those people, even in their gesture of financial faith, building this building, had a call to financial faith and loving their neighbor, and they met it anyway. They said, well, I'm giving at the office. Can't take care of my neighbor. They had a neighbor to love. That's what we're to do. That's what I believe we're going forward to do. You know, after this call here in Joshua to all the people of Israel, he then, right, and you'll study their response tonight in your life groups, he went right to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, made a special appeal to them. You know why? You remember? Some of you do. Those 2.5 tribes, when Israel started coming in under Moses' leadership, took over some land east of the Jordan. And the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh said, hey, Moses, we like this land. We got mules and stuff, and we'd love to, like, just plant here. And Moses said, okay, but on the condition that when your brothers keep going deeper into the promised land, you'll go with them and fight with them. They said, deal. Years before the call of the day. And so now Joshua is going in and asking them to make good on that commitment. To be lifelong warriors, to not be done, going deeper into the promise of God, and to do it not for their benefit, but to the benefit of their brothers, because they've got their promised land. I know in this church, there are some Reubenites and some Gadites and a half-tribe Manasseh. And probably, truth be told, all of us, whatever generation we're in our heart, there's a little piece of us that's saying, you know, this works. This is all right. You know, we've got our promised land. We've paid our dues. We're okay here. Let's make it work. So Joshua made a special trip to those people, and we are to make a special trip to that part of our hearts and say, for those of you who've been faithful, for those of you who've been courageous, and you've been given rest, would you pick up the sword again? Would you strap on the armor again? And not just come with us, but would you... You who know how to do this, who've had this happen, who've offered faith in your life, would you go first across the Jordan? They did. We must. That's our call. Who's going to come up first today is our descendants. You know, in chapter 4, where they build that monument, you know, the 12 stones, it wasn't about that building.
it was literally about the living legacy God wanted them to keep and hang on to and have focus on. He literally says that. He says, after Joshua was calling him, he says in Joshua chapter 4, "And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, 'In the future, when your descendants ask their fathers,'" see the living legacy he's wanting to pass on? "When your descendants ask their fathers, 'What do these stones mean?' Tell them, 'The Lord your God did it in Jordan, just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over.'" Here's why he did it, church. He did this. They're supposed to tell their children this, okay? Picture yourself telling your children. "He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful." It's to make God famous to all the people of the earth. "And so that you might always fear the Lord your God." It's for all the people of the earth we do what we're doing today. And it's for our children that they might fear the Lord their God. I can't think of a more literal expression of what we're doing with what we're specifically building. The children's classrooms in particular. Our descendants are going to come forward. Brian Moore, one of our champions, is going to come now. One of our children's ministry champions. I've come to learn that very quickly. We all owe a debt of gratitude to his slavery to Christ and how he expresses his love for Christ by loving my kid and yours. And he's going to just share a couple of words as our descendants, who we want to tell this to, kind of lead us in what we're going to do next.
Well, if you haven't heard him in the hallways, then we got some listening devices for you in the back you can borrow, but we got some caged animals back there, and they're excited to be first, and we're excited to be honored by getting to go first. These guys have been, the kids who I'm talking about, they've been excited about saving money for the building campaign, the Living Legacy campaign. I've got stories about kids who have taken money out of their own piggy banks to put in these. Comments like, "God can use this more than I can." Things like, in their prayers, praying that nobody gets hurt building the church. Not if it gets built or when it gets built, but just bless the people building our church in the future. And there's just that openness that kids have, and we've been excited about that. Also, another quick story. We have a little story. We have some kids bringing some change forward this morning who, it's like the third generation. The parents have helped the kids collect change, and that was given to them from their parents. So, and they're finally bringing that all together. And they're like, "You know, we've been doing this for years and years and years, but we want to give it to the church." And it's already, some of it's already in here, and some of it's coming up in a minute. But those type of things are just encouraging. And I hope the parents and the congregation have been encouraged by watching these kids save. I hope at home you've seen your kids save, taking change out of your pockets, your wife's purse, things like that. But hope that's been encouraging to you, because they don't care where they get it from. They'll find the change and they'll bring it up here. So we're excited about that. So if you will help me as they come forward, come on, guys. Any of the other kids who are not in children's worship up to fifth grade who have their change ready, feel free to walk up front and bring that as well. We're going to put it in this wheelbarrow up front. And anybody who has first fruits is welcome to put it in here as well. But if you guys will help me sing these guys down, they're on their way down right now. Jesus.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus died for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world. Jesus lives for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus lives for all the children of the world. Hosanna, You're my King. I worship and I see. I lift Your holy name upon high. I worship and adore. Sing praise forevermore. Hosanna, You're my King. Forevermore. Hosanna, You're my King. I worship and I sing. I lift Your holy name. And adore.
I worship and adore.
Sing praise forevermore.
Sing praise forevermore.
Hosanna, You're my King.
Hosanna, You're my King forevermore.
Probably one of the groups that most clearly, kind of the way we've got it planned, gains, you know, kind of no immediate, they don't get to enjoy the Holy Land where we're getting to go and into this land of promises, the youth group. Landon's going to come up, and these descendants of ours are also going to be making their offering.
If I can have all the students and Legacy Challenge leaders to come with us. Some of our students have money with them. The rest of you guys just come up here with them and join them as I kind of set up what we're doing. Let's go. Most of you know that for the student ministry, this day started for us about 2 months ago. We asked our students in kind of a rowdy, crazy way to begin dreaming about what we can give on First Fruit Sunday. There was talk about a goal for us of about $5,000. And so all the groups went out, and each age group, from sixth grade to seniors, formed teams to give of their own money as well as raise money in any way that they can to give to this church. In one day in May, we raised over $5,000 on May 8th.
Praise God.
At the end of that day, we came back together and we said, we've already met our goal. What do we do? And overwhelmingly, it was, let's give more. Let's give more. So we set a goal of $10,400. As of last week, last Sunday, the best estimate that we could get to was $8,000 had been raised. Sorry, we should have had Kyle do this. they have no idea what number I'm about to say. We have in our hands, we're about to put in $12,040. Those of y'all that have money, go ahead and put it in the wheelbarrow. As they're putting it in, once it's in, guys, y'all can go ahead and go to your seats. This last month, we have been spending every Sunday talking about what it is to give out of sacrifice. And for the past month and a half, we have passed around a little envelope that looks like this in our classrooms. And each week, the kids are giving from themselves sacrifices of their money. We're going to continue to do that until this campaign is completed. These students are not through. And we're going to see them triple, double, or quadruple what they have just done.
Sat down with my little boy who just came up and gave his offering
this morning. And we weren't saving up for this campaign as long as you guys, but he's been saving up. He had a little lunchbox saving up for his motorcycle. And Karen and I were talking about how to handle this with Shade, and been listening to some of the you parents and some of the kids. I've just been so impressed with how you've been training your kids up in giving. And then I listened to my own sermon, you know, and I said, we have to ask him to give it all. We have to ask him to give it all. I was dreading that because he wants a motorcycle. And this morning I sat down with him. I said, hey, you got your money? He goes, yeah. I go, where is it? Because I didn't know where. He goes, come here, I'll show you. And he goes, let's sit down and talk about it. And okay, and so we sit down, he pulls it out, and we count it. He's got $27. And he sold his little used Jeep that we got for $5 at a garage sale. He sold it at another garage sale and put the money in there. We made a pretty good profit. And he's got $27. I mean, that's great for his motorcycle. And I said, Shane, how much do you want to give? Will you give this to God? And he said, yeah, I'll give him $20. And he doesn't know. He's just picking it. And he said, I'll give him this. And he pulls out. I said, Shade, how about you give it all to him? And my little boy goes, okay. That's it. That's all it took. We're supposed to be like children. I think this is one of those ways. Gave it all. You know, Peter was called. When you study, I love studying Christ's life chronologically and just kind of seeing what his ministry looked like and how it unfolded, you know, just putting the Gospels in harmony and trying to figure that out. And people a lot smarter than me who've done that, most of them suggest that Peter was called three times to follow Christ. Three times. First time when he met him after his brother met him with John the Baptist, and he said, come follow me. And he did, up to Capernaum and, you know, to the wedding. And then later he goes down the boat and he calls him and Andrew again. You know, Peter, Andrew, James, he calls him again. It's the second call. Come follow me. And they do. And then later again, when he goes out, he's fishing, he goes out and he has the miraculous catch of fish. For those of you who don't know the story, it's a phenomenal story. Where Jesus calls him to come and follow him. You know, he'd just been fishing all day. He says, go out there and put out into the deep again and throw out your nets. And he's like, skeptical, like, I'm the fisherman, man, you know, but okay. And he pulls out this miraculous catch of fish, and Peter gets it. In this unique way that God had to do it for Peter, this fisherman, he gets it. This is God. And he said, come with me, and I will make you a fisher of men. Peter got it. Jesus is asking for my whole life, my whole heart. We're about to ask you to respond like that. It'll take different shapes for some of you. Maybe for some of you it is coming up here and putting in your first fruits offering. I'll put mine in with you. For some of you, you've done that. Or maybe you've just got your commitment card like I do as well. You need to do that. Maybe it's just you need to visit with your wife or a child or just sitting there in the pew while we worship and movement. We want everyone in here to move. It doesn't have to be physical. You don't have to get up. You're welcome to when we want you to. But we want everyone to be moved in their heart to say, okay, God, I get it. For some of you, it's I get it again. You want all of me. For some of you, it may be the very first time. For you who are guests with us this morning, I want to welcome you to our family meeting. God's our head. We're worshiping Him today in everything we're doing. And the invitation's there for you too. And it's the same call on your life. He has an invitation for you. He's going to demand faith. And it's going to come with this massive promise. For some of you, you need to move like that. You need to move and say, I need this Christ that these people have. Our shepherds will be up here. If you need a prayer, it doesn't have to be announced up here. Just while we're worshiping. And we're going to worship as long as there's movement. And if Kyle's just sitting up here worshiping God as a solo and we're all busy talking and visiting and praying together, then we're going to do that. But however you need to respond, there's baskets in the back, I believe. Bob has gotten those back there. In the balcony, I believe, too. And if you can't get up or don't just feel comfortable getting up, just hold yours up and someone will grab it for you. And we're going to offer this first fruits offering. Yeah, we're building a building, but it's about so much more. So let's respond today. If you really had a good response physically of what you're going to put in this wheelbarrow to God, for me, for us, we have to pick up those children that just offered their money and put them in here and offer them to God. That's what He deserves. And anything less important to you would go with it. So let's worship and let's respond.
Stand with me. Creed.